You're listening to DraftKings Network.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
I was bummed, Stugatz. A stupid thing to be bummed about, but I was bummed that Lane Kiffin publicly apologized for being so bold as to say before the game against Alabama, get your popcorn ready. He has had to apologize for saying, get your popcorn ready. He says he doesn't know why he said it. He threw his headset, but there was a public apology. And I'm so bummed because I don't think that he'd be apologizing if he'd been up 28-0 at the half and won the game. I think he only has to apologize because he lost. Or does he have to apologize for throwing the headset? Anyway, I just want these guys to be able to be themselves, and I hate that he can't. You have to apologize, Stugatz, for get your popcorn ready?
I mean, it seems absurd. I will say that I did get popcorn ready, and I came back and the game was over. So, I mean, apology accepted.
The game was over as the popcorn was getting ready.
Yes.
Brian Kelly still hasn't apologized for saying he was going to execute his whole team.
He hasn't? He was getting so much public pressure
Brian
for that.
Kelly doesn't apologize. That
is, you know what? I'm happy he didn't apologize for that. I'm happy that he leaned in against people telling him that he couldn't make a tired joke from 40 years earlier when John McKay, the old coach of the Tampa Bay Bucks, was asked what he thought of his team's execution, and he says, I'm in favor of it, which is a funnier way to do it. It's not the way Brian Kelly did it, unfortunately. It's not his greatest crime was just botching the joke. It wasn't, but I'm glad he's not apologizing for it.
No, he should apologize for not being funny.
Okay, fair enough. And what should Lane Kiffin be apologizing for?
Well, Lane Kiffin apologized to CBS sideline reporter Jamie Erdahl. I want to make sure I get the name right.
So it's for throwing the headset and running away from the interview is what he's apologizing for.
Yeah, and the rest
for.
He was explaining, and I kind of found it super endearing. I was in on what Lane said. So what if you ended up losing to Alabama in that fashion? A lot of people do. I like that the head coach is that jacked up for it. And he explained himself. He's like, I was running on a bunch of emotion. It was very loud in there. I thought it was the last question. I immediately regretted it because I tossed the headphones and I wasn't exactly sure. I heard a whistle and I thought we had to start getting playing. And as soon as I got to my sideline spot, I was like, you guys better do something good because I may have said something really stupid. I found it humanizing from a guy that doesn't necessarily... Well, he comes off too human sometimes.
He thought the game had started, though. He did, right?
The game was about to start.
Right.
So he was just searching for words, and he thought he just wanted to stick the landing, and he was oddly confident against Alabama.
I like that he apologized for seeming rude to the sideline reporter, because like, a lot of head coaches just kind of treat them like shit. Like, yell at them. They don't answer their questions.
I think that's what the apology was for.
I don't think
it's necessarily what he said. Yeah. It was for being rude to the reporter. Yeah.
Let's examine this. If we're going to make these people human and say jacked up on emotion, let's think about this for a second. Lane Kiffin rehabbed himself by coming through the professional pipeline of coach rehabilitation known as Alabama, the factory of Alabama. And while he was there, he didn't exactly fit. You'll see a team picture with other coaches where he obviously didn't get the memo that they were supposed to wear white shoes. And you will see that he is quoted as saying, Saban would do things. I'm an adult. Like, tell me, get your hat off in the meetings. Don't wear. And he just talks about that stuff openly. And everyone listening to it sides with Lane on that one, even if you dislike him. Oh, come on, coach. Really? Your offensive coordinator, you got to take off his baseball cap because you're giving professionalism. All right, whatever. Now, after being the guy who tells us every time we stepped onto the field, we knew we had a more athletic person and a better person in every position against everybody we were ever playing against. Now you're running into that to play that guy, and you know what you're running into. Is it possible that Lane Kiffin was just scared out of his mind? Is it possible that Lane Kiffin knew what he was going up against, was jacked up on emotion? He's inflated. He's gotten back in the game through FAU, Stugatz.
Yes.
Chris, when you and I went to that FAU game, we were marveling at how tiny those people were.
Like high school kids.
Like, no, younger than high school kids. What he reinvented himself in Boca at the Blue Martini. He rehabbed all that stuff and now is in the SEC game with a little bit of personality and dying to get back to Boca in the Blue Martini. And he's a human being, cartoon character, and he's living someplace he doesn't want to live, with a brown puddle of water. He doesn't want to live there. He wants to get back in the game, in the Saban game. You know how you do it? That was the game. That's how you do it right there. Wait a minute. What? Lane Kiffin did what to Nick Saban right out of the box? He can get back into the game for real? The guy who told him to take his cap off? Is it possible he was just scared?
I don't think he was scared at all. I think he was supremely confident.
Yes.
And he was running on adrenaline because he was really confident in what they mapped out for their first drive, which was a really good drive that just ended on a fourth down conversion. They'd completed a couple fourth down attempts already, and he was going for broke because he knew, I have to score on every drive. They didn't, and the game went sideways.
I agree. He got a lot of hype going into that game. Everyone was talking about how Lane Kiffin revolutionized and modernized Alabama's offense when he was the offensive coordinator, and he knew all of Saban's plays. And he thought he had a chance, so he was saying, get your popcorn ready, because he thought he was going to win that game.
I love that he thought he had a chance and the outcome. Like, think about the outcome. That's a coach who thought he had a chance.
Oh, but I also think that, the dog that barks loudest is most scared.
He was telling us, bet the over. Because he knew his only shot at winning that game was that it was going to be an exciting game. Look, Lane Kiffin won that second half.
I think his actions, he did. I think his actions.
Actions or Mike Ryan's action? Because that sounded like.
I took a bath on that game.
But I think Lane going for it on that first drive on fourth down all the time, he clearly went in with the mentality, I have to score on every single possession, would suggest that he was probably scared a little bit, right?
The final score in the 2020 game was 63-48, Alabama.
You'd think the over would cash again, but nope.
How many of you, put this on the poll, please, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show, how many of you took a bath on the Alabama game because Spencer Hall told you that he was picking Mississippi at Lebatard Show? Because we like to think that we always get fooled into this.
The logic was sound, Dan. The logic was sound. And sometimes Nick Saban will do that to you.
I mean, I lost plenty. That's one of the games I hit on. I'm not going to blame Spencer, but I lost plenty on Saturday. But I had Hawaii at 11 o'clock. Oh. Not midnight. It was 11 o'clock. It was weird.
That's how you knew it was special.
Bailed me out.
The early time slot.
I'm not going to lie, though. I put the bet in, too, when Spencer predicted them to win straight up. That was, Spencer cost me some money.
Well, but did you also take Kentucky?
No.
Oh, well, you can't. That's on you then.
I took everything.
If you take
Saturday.
Kentucky money line, you're golden.
You seem more convinced on
Ole Miss.
You
picked
them
to win straight up. Yeah, I just took the spread when he did that.
I know, but if you'd taken Kentucky on the money line, you would have, Spencer Hall would have won you money, as opposed to taking Stugatz's advice when he's telling you that Charlotte plus 11 against Illinois, and he can't tell you anything about Charlotte.
8-2 in the NFL, Dano. How about that? Putting it out there.
0-2 on made up games. Too.
Yeah, futures.
How does that keep happening? I need to understand what is happening, can't be redone. You had last week Auburn playing against UCLA. You had in your picks Auburn playing two games on the same day. You had them playing
on opposite coasts.
You had them playing against an opponent they were not playing against. And when Billy sent out, people like following this over the weekend. Billy sends it out every weekend, all of our links to the games, and not a game is what it said in parentheses, Auburn against UCLA.
It's only happened 66% of the time that it's gone out.
You have to wonder, though, who is giving Stugatz these, game options? Like, who's producing
Stugatz? He's looking at the games on the internet. I give him the link and I say, pick whatever games you want.
I don't know.
And I do. I
it just flies for Billy.
It's so good. It is an amazing thing. It's not just it's not just that this is how he picks the games. It's the two seasons in a row. Mike, please find me one of those 30 for 30s that just recaps for us one of his 0-14 starts, because I can't believe I'm saying it. One of his 0-14 starts.
I think it was an 0-14 start, and then I went through the bowl season, and I was 0-16 on the first 16 bowl games, something like that.
It's so hard to do.
I can't believe anyone listens to anything you say in terms of picking games. Well, really in general, but just in terms of picking games. It's just, I don't understand. And the crazy thing about it, you think you're really good at it. Like, you get really excited about picking these games, and it doesn't really matter.
Billy, 12-4 NFL last 2 weeks, okay? Go ahead and find anyone who's done that. 12-4, 2-0 on my teaser of the week. I mean, that's pretty good, man. Like, why don't we celebrate, you know, occasionally?
Because you go, like, 2-12 in college.
Oh, so college is not my strength. I mean,
because
I keep listening to the Spencer guy.
Because you've started a couple of seasons 0-16.
What if I told you that the pursuit of perfection isn't always a good thing? That 0-14 on your gambling picks isn't just possible, but will likely have real-life consequences. That my picks are for entertainment purposes only. That I gave you a sly wink and air quotes when I said that thing about my picks being for entertainment purposes only. That I've run into some pretty rough people you don't want to owe money to. That I've just taken out a third mortgage. That my daughters are going to have to make new friends in public school. That I know way too much about the University of Hawaii's football team because I'm always up late chasing. That my wife is probably leaving me and taking the kids. That if someone you never met before starts asking you questions about where I've been, tell them you haven't seen me in a while and immediately text me so I can get on the next flight to El Salvador. That I know it's been a rough couple of weeks, but I've got a great feeling about the Titans plus 6.5 on Sunday. ESPN Film presents a 30 for 30 about one man's fight to keep both his kneecaps.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Libertard.
That bear was not on Hal's deck. Excuse me. I was going to say desk. I meant deck. I botched it. Terrible. $2. Penalty box, 2 minutes. See ya. Home for the day. Walk to the ocean. What do you want me to do? Super Bowl week, Dan. I didn't ask for any of this. And I have no money. Aqua?
Stugatz.
Walk to the ocean.
What?
Walk to the ocean.
I really have
no
money.
Get out of here. Get out of here. I'll do the show without you.
I don't like.
This is the Don Libertard Show with the Stugatz.
How have we not talked about the Super Bowl halftime show? How have we not talked? Every year we get obsessed with this. And Billy, I don't think you've ever been more excited for a halftime show than the last couple of Latin-flavored halftime shows.
The halftime doesn't exist anymore. Like Shakira and J-Lo ended that. There is no other halftime show. It's done. Don't even bother.
Really?
Don't even bother.
Don't even bother.
Mm.
Just play all the way through, not even halftime. We don't need a halftime in the Super Bowl anymore. For what? To draw it out, more commercials, enough. Let's just play football.
How did you guys feel about Dr. Dre, Snoop, Kendrick, Mary J. Blige, Eminem? It got black. The halftime show, they gave us Latin. And as they end racism in the end zones, after Jay-Z got involved with Kaepernick, they've given black people a victory. They had to throw Eminem in there because you can't. And it's a good way to do it. But
it's whipped cream. Eminem's whipped cream.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I had to go with something white there. It's whipped cream. Eminem.
It is a. It's a.
They had to. I don't think they had to.
They should have been not afraid to take a stand.
No, First Take has to. First Take has to add Tebow at the end of the week. Yeah. And you gotta throw. Fridays. You gotta throw. Come on, they booed Unity in Kansas City, Mike. You gotta give him. You gotta give him Eminem.
How about Dr. Dre needs as many buffers in place as possible before we start complaining about Dr. Dre?
That too.
Who's the headliner in this halftime show?
It's Dr. Dre. He's a tie that binds, but he's got a lot of people that, in terms of their own individual catalog, probably a little bit. I mean, he's got the Chronic, and as a producer, in terms
don't
of performer,
go after Dr. Dre also.
I mean, I kind of already did.
Magic, Dr. Dre.
But right. Dr. Dre surrounded like the tie to Mary J. Blige. I know he produced one of her songs, but that odd fit in terms of the universe of Dr. Dre, but. Dr. Dre, I don't know if people are closer to it. You're going to have the big expose kind of reminding people of what happened there, but it's a pretty violent history.
Yes, that's going to make an appearance, but this is the NFL with Jay-Z as part of, because Jay-Z, this was an interesting one. I think when Jay-Z got involved with the Kaepernick stuff, and you've seen, again, the Kaepernick stuff is over. There is no healing it. There was no fixing it. But here's a halftime show. After the last 2 years of crazy chaos as race-related divisions have been all over the country, here's the NFL sitting on the wrong side with Kaepernick, and then Patrick Mahomes says something, and never mind. The NFL says, never mind about all of that. We change our mind and our position and our statement on all things Kaepernick. We were totally wrong.
The NFL obviously had to have had, maybe I'm giving them too much credit, but they've had to have had this discussion. And I'm a weird person to introduce this, but I think a lot of people just flatly don't know about it. But he gave like a pretty extensive interview and he publicly atoned for his past. He's obviously a mogul and has kind of reshaped his public image to the point that this is probably the first national discourse surrounding this halftime game. I was surprised that the NFL allowed for the opportunity, but I am super excited that I'm going to get to enjoy that halftime show because at various points in my life, I was a huge fan of everybody that's on there.
Are those questions going to make an appearance right before the Super Bowl? Because the greatest press conference ever in Super Bowl history was Prince coming out. And they were about to ask him a question, and then the band just started playing, and he danced around, and then they left. They didn't answer any questions.
How you do it.
I mean, know, but yes. Dr. Dre's not going to quite be able to do that one around the questions that are headed his way. And yet, I'm excited by this grouping of people because we have not seen Dr. Dre in a while, have we? We have
Dr.
not.
Dr. Dre had like a scary health incident, and it's not so much the NFL having this discussion too. Is Dr. Dre has been pretty private. Right. And I'm sure with all this attention that goes along with the halftime show, the fact that you're going to have to answer questions, and I don't think he's going to be protected from the press before his halftime appearance. Like he probably knows that he has to reconcile with this publicly again.
He also made $87 bazillion on headphones. So why do anything?
I don't think before the Super Bowl, the main act gets a open press availability. I know they do like a week of press conference, but I can't remember because it's been a couple of years since I went, but I don't think you're allowed to ask certain questions. Someone might be able to correct me on that.
Maybe I think Dr. Dre, given that he's already given an interview about this Rolling Stone, has to know that this comes with a territory. It's
he doesn't have to answer.
He doesn't have to.
Well, people will
he
ask.
Be
yes.
Like I said that. Like I said, I was he had the right amount of contrition surrounding some really horrible incidents in his career, and I believe that I'm very happy that Dr. Dre is getting the opportunity to perform on a halftime show on that grand stage because I'm a fan of Dr. Dre's.
Oh, but I find, of course, this is where art meets artist and the intersection that's becoming all the more complicated with every Michael Jackson and R. Kelly. And it once we start making more and more of these documentaries on your heroes, like some people are going to find out things that are going to be really uncomfortable about people you really liked because of how much times have changed and coming from a different time and the amount of this. Look, we're doing it.
Doing it with Ric Flair right now, who's a friend who, I mean, that's been discussed publicly, litigated publicly for 20 years. And there have been varying accounts of what happened on that. And unfortunately, varying levels of sincerity while discussing it, at times while discussing what was, in no uncertain terms, a form of assault.
For those of you who don't know this story that is now in documentary form, and a lot of the wrestling stories have been interesting, it's a team flight, or not a team flight, a wrestling flight, a lot of drunkenness. We've laughed about some of it on the show. This crazy flight was known as one of the famous ones.
The plane ride from hell.
Ric Flair was often naked walking around, and something happened in the back of the plane. And
where he wore a robe and strutted down the aisle naked, and there have been, the new information is, like, we've had all this information, and some of it you just like, well, Motley Crue was crazy in the late 80s, duh. Like, that's how it was, and Nature Boy famously kind of lived his gimmick there. The victim in this situation felt like she couldn't get away from Ric Flair, which I can understand on an airplane, if you know how congested those are with the drink carts. Ric Flair has pushed back publicly on some of the accounts there and has had people backing up. But I've known this my entire time. I've known Ric Flair, been a fan of Ric Flair, and eventually became Ric Flair's friend. It's uncomfortable for me to see it dragged out again, and I'm doing it here with Dr. Dre, so I'd be a fraud if I didn't point out.
Oh, but that has to be part of the punishment. Part of the punishment on this, and silence for so long that results in the hashtag MeToo movement, has to be that some of this stuff gets relitigated in the public eye, and you have to endure the shame of that and the questions that come with that and the discomfort of that.
That's it's very uncomfortable oftentimes because people, in many instances, in Dr. Dre's instance specifically, in terms of the public eye, you kind of skate for 25 years. And then as you evolve as a person, as a father, as a man, as
Mike,
a partner,
hip-hop
you
is-
get judged by today's moralities. And so what? Most people would argue you got off easy back then. And this is atoning for your sins is a part of the process. I think Ric Flair's going through that right now. Ric Flair is certainly paying the price right now because I'm sure there was a plan for him when he asked for the WWE's release. And he's not being used right now. And Dr. Dre had to atone for it in an interview with Rolling Stone. And it's my best guess he's going to atone for it in segments like these where people start paying attention to his violent past, violence against women, and he's going to have to answer some questions, and that also comes through the territory. And if he atones once again publicly for it, I'm not necessarily of the mind that we should forget it, but we should certainly move on and also judge somebody by who they are today.
It is hard to separate art an artist when these conversations make an appearance, but it's the halftime show. And it's the halftime show of a notoriously conservative organization that is purposely putting in front of you something that negotiated with Jay-Z, I'm assuming, is a seismic big event to be the seismic big event after Kaepernick. And in a normal, less pandemic-y place, the Super Bowl halftime show is the biggest thing in America. Dr. Dre is about to make his way out back into public after a health scare with great privacy. I have not heard from him musically, interviewed. Where have you seen him? It feels like
he dropped an album, like, I want to say, like 8 years ago that was eagerly anticipated. Dr. Dre kind of does this throughout his career.
But this is a giant musical return for Dr. Dre.
In his hometown.
In LA, though, too.
Yeah, his hometown, surrounded by not just colleagues and people, but it's outside of Mary J., it's people that he introduced us to, and also as a producer had a hand in the success of Snoop Dogg, Eminem, Kendrick Lamar, he knighted every single one of those artists and every single one of those artists that are alongside him on that halftime show on their own merit could be headlining a Super Bowl halftime
show. It's pretty cool as a return.
It's amazing to share that with his proteges.
As a return, okay, and you talk about, because we can go through hip hop here, and if we're going to do this, misogyny, Me Too, assault, all of it, we can look at hip hop having a whole lot of issues that Dr. Dre and Jay-Z have climbed to the very top of black power, black money, black entertainment, black commerce, you know, by teams type of power, lording above even in some ways LeBron James and Dwayne Wade and athletes in another sphere accruing power. This is the height of black power, fame, money, making a fireworks return after a decade on the biggest platform there is with his disciples
in his home city.
Holy shit.
Yes.
After a brain aneurysm.
Right. Holy shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. At his age, this is going to feel like, this is looking back on your life and your career. This is,
correct.
Oh my God,
yeah.
In my hometown, I'm playing the Super Bowl halftime show.
But holy shit, as from that era, Ice Cube.
At 55 years old.
Think about what it is as a symbol artistically, musically, as Ice Cube and NWA were wearing that Raiders gear and being a different kind of hip hop. These two climbed to the top of the commerce game on merit, because it's not like a lot of people are going to have a whole lot of quibble with who Jay-Z was as an artist, and it's not like anybody's going to have any quibble with who Dr. Dre was as a producer.
SoFi Stadium, L.A., Dre, Snoop, I mean, great halftime show. We going? We going to a Super Bowl, Dano? Huh? Little Radio Row?
Same weekend as the Waste Management Open?
Oh, we're not going.
We can do all of that.
Is that true?
We can do all of that right now.
Horrible planning, if that's the case.
Why don't we do all of it? Why don't we do all of it at once? Why don't we have
Waste Management for 2 days and then close things out at the Super Bowl?
Are you saying Thursday and Friday at the Waste Management, and then we head over to the Super Bowl Saturday, Sunday?
Yeah, Radio Row from the Waste Management Open.
Wait. What if we do Radio Row and then go to Phoenix Friday and Saturday and then get out of town before the Super Bowl?
Then we miss a halftime show.
You're right.
What if we go there to start and then come back?
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Radio Row.
Jessica,
Wait a minute, Jessica,
how are you, as the youngest among us, somebody who's already trying to get out of the actual game?
The Super Bowl's a week after Waste Management Open.
She went to Rams-Patriots. Okay.
I fell asleep in the press box, Dan.
It's a traumatic experience. Mm-hmm. You can understand why she's trying to run away from the actual game.
Wait, so Billy's saying it's the weekend after now, so...
No, scratch that. So, I was looking at 2021.
So it's the same weekend?
Looks like it.
Who plans this?
Horrible planning.
Right.
Horrible planning.
Wait, but hold on. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Radio Row. We all know Radio Row starts to die down Thursday, Friday.
That's the opposite. No.
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 Radio Row on Friday is dead.
Monday, Tuesday, it's dead. No one's there Monday and Tuesday.
So we just go Wednesday.
Wednesday, Thursday is the pickup days.
Wednesday, Thursday, then we don't miss a second of the Waste Management Open. And get all the access, certainly, thanks to our great friends at DraftKings.
All right, we've got to do that.
How close is this? Is this helicopter distance?
We have to do this.
No, Arizona.
Arizona, L.A.
I'm not getting an helicopter.
We can stop in Vegas on the way to L.A., though.
Absolutely.
There you go. Now you're thinking.
More stops. Yes. Good. Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That'll make
sense. Why don't we do that? Why don't we do a Meadowlark tour? It's about time we did like a big splashy thing. It's been a few months, so why don't we figure out how to just renegade road trip, bus tour, helicopter tour, Meadowlark showing off, going, you know, doing big sports things. Why aren't we doing that?
Why don't we take a Madden cruiser?
You know what's going to happen? It's just going to be like Stugatz pedaling in on a bicycle, followed by Tony.
You got Stugatz showing up anywhere outside of the Waste Management Open?
I
got
to check my calendar to see if I'm free that weekend.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text LOSE to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text LOSE to 200-300. That's LOSE to 200-300. LOSE to 200-300.